This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
8 o'clock hour here on DFW Sports Station. Good morning, Metroplex. The entire crew back together again. Sean Sharif, RJ Choppy, Cowboys insider Bobby Belt, and Peyton Phillip Russell firing up the fan cam, Twitch, and YouTube. Hopefully you enjoyed your extended time off. The New York Times, a.k.a. The Athletic, when it comes to sports, did a profile on Nico Harrison. Who is the man who traded Luka Doncic? And Bobby took you through part one in the 6 o'clock hour, basically recapping how rigid and disciplined he is, how serious he takes nutrition. A lot of times going up to friends and saying, "What'd you eat for lunch today? What's your diet looking like?" What a douchey thing. I hate people like that. I really do. They're sitting there just judging you up and down over your BMI. And obviously he compared everything to Kobe Bryant. Now this is going to go one of two ways. He's going to find Kobe Bryant-esque type mentalities and dedication to conditioning and the game of basketball. Or Nico, our prediction, is going to find that. And yeah, it seems weird being like Nico Harrison's going to find out about NBA players. The man signed Kyrie Irving and Anthony Davis and a countless number of individuals over at Nike. So it does sound on the surface a little foolish of us to be like, your expectation level of what the leader of your NBA team should be is too high. It's a little bit silly. Kobe Bryant was a top three worker, arguably, in the history of the NBA. And because Luka Doncic is not that or very, very close to it, that's not good enough for you and gives you the justification in your mind to trade him at the age of 25? Ridiculous and crazy. Look. As we've all said throughout this whole thing, you want to trade him for those reasons? Okay. Not full sign off okay, but I get it. But getting back Anthony Davis and the lack of the return is the most unforgivable part to me.
That's it.
You know,
it's not the trade.
AD is going to represent Kobe. And we're probably taking that too far. But if you're going to make that trade, you better get someone back that you can rely on, like Kobe Bryant, from a durability, leadership, work ethic standpoint. And Anthony Davis, he's not it because he can't last.
It's not necessarily the trade. Again, like, you know, you can reasonably say that, you get Banchero and four ones.
Yeah.
Then you could justify that deal. But I'll still say that, you know, and I said this yesterday, if you were to give Ranger fans a choice, would you rather have won in 2010 or 2023? They'll take the 2010 title because that was a mostly homegrown team.
Yeah.
That matters here. It doesn't matter for the Cowboys necessarily.
Well, it matters in a lot of places. Yeah. I always take this to the Yankees.
But the Yankees don't care necessarily.
Yeah,
but Dodger fans don't care. Laker fans don't care.
But those Yankee titles meant more when it was Jeter, Moe, and Posada along with Pettit versus buying everybody.
Right. Yeah, the 09 title I don't think meant as much as the 96 one. Just didn't.
Sure,
won't, you know, like you bought your team.
And Nico is viewing it, and I don't blame him, as, yo, your job as fans, okay, you can care about the one title with Dirk and the one title you may get with Luka. My job is to try to win two. Two titles without them are better than one title with them. And that is a huge fight, disagreement, and debate amongst a fan base and a front office. Nico's job is not to worry about your fan sentiment of winning the one Dirk title. Nico's job is to try to win two titles.
Right, but like, you know.
Yeah, but he's trying to win two titles in 3 years with this move instead of two titles in 10, maybe.
Yeah.
Right. Like, that's the biggest problem. He's really narrowed his
win. Because if you were to ask Mav fans, would you rather win one title with AD over the next 3 years or zero titles with Luka over the next 15? But you get to see Luka for the next 15. I think the Luka thing still wins majority still would say
yes
Luka
in the moment today. And probably if they do end up winning, it's an impossible thing when we get on our bandwagon-y. Look at the way, I reacted during the Rockets' debut. I'm like, okay, this is fun. I want to see this. I want to see how this plays out. But you may have a lot of
out exactly how we knew it was going to play out.
Yeah, exactly. My anticipation is if they even win the title this year, I don't think anybody says Nico is right. I think this fan base, given how they've reacted, says you would have won it with Luka too.
Right, because they were in the
finals. And then we would have been able to win two, three more. All you did was show me that we could have won it with Luka.
All right, so let's dive inside this article with part two. Nike's NBA player reps call themselves the SEALs, a reference to the Elite Navy Special Operations Unit. The military terminology does not stop there. Operating above the SEALs is Lynn Merritt, the high-ranking exec most famous for signing Kobe and LeBron, who is known by his team as the General. That crew, which for years included Nico Harrison, prefers to operate in silence. The player reps act as liaisons between basketball stars and the premier athletic brand. In Harrison's case, he was the middleman between Nike and most famously Kobe, though he worked with other top-tier players too, including Davis and Irving. And at Nike, RJ, the SEALs had a secret handshake. Did you not bust out laughing when you read this?
It's so stupid.
It includes at least two or three daps. And the Athletic is not, this is the funniest part, the Athletic is not privy to the intricacy of the greeting, given the, like the Athletic is not privy to the trade parameters or the trade negotiations. No, we're not privy to the handshake, given the true confidentiality of how SEALs, even ones at an athletic apparel brand, slither behind the scenes. Mm. Nico got such a high out of talking to Rob Pelinka, his Navy SEAL brother, because of their time with Kobe. He did not, you know, again, want this to get out because he would say, look at what the Miami Heat just went through with Jimmy Butler.
So was it Navy?
Do you remember your fraternity handshake?
No, I don't know if we had a fraternity handshake. We probably did. I don't remember it.
Were the Nike SEALs the same ones who that Penn State story we were talking about during a break yesterday where they went up to the Penn State football team and said, you got to stop taping up these guys' ankles and covering the Nike swoosh. And so then they had to stop taping up guys' ankles. Nike takes itself way too seriously. This just sounds like Nico is directly aligned with that cult-like mindset.
Jen Allen worked closely with Harrison at Nike. Quote, he's willing to make the audacious choice if he believes it serves the greater mission. That being said, he's one of the most measured risk takers I've ever met. There's nothing about Nico that is haphazard or reckless. He worked alongside Kobe for years, witnessing the Mamba mentality, but he's not merely plagiarizing one of the greatest ever. It's also Nico's character. Danny Sprinkle, his college teammate, says he's that disciplined and detailed. Sprinkle's now the head coach at the University of Washington. As you said, Bobby, earlier, his pops worked at an aluminum plant for 30 years. He missed just one day of work.
Can we verify that?
I would.
How do you know? Like, how many days of work did your dad miss? I have no idea.
I'll be honest. The guy who thinks, like, I got to trade Luka because he drinks beer or whatever sounds like, I imagine that probably is accurate.
Doncic represented a different type of mentality from Kobe. Luka drinks beer and smokes a hookah, neither of which is atypical for a 25-year-old, but those behaviors did not fit Harrison's mold. Questions about the team's ability to hold Luka accountable followed. Luka controlled more day-to-day decisions than the average player does, such as practice schedules, though superstars on other teams receive similar treatment. Bob Vulgaris, Vegas Bob. Did you hear the cooler story? Did y'all hear the sweet tea lemonade story?
I don't think so.
Right. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Here's Vegas Bob. Every person who worked at the Mavericks except for me was terrified of Luka, 2018 to 2021. He told a story during Luka's rookie year. Luka would fill his thermos with what was in the Gatorade cooler. It was basically an Arnold Palmer. It was a mixture of lemonade and sweet tea. Vegas Bob told Cuban, I know liquid calories are death. You got to go ahead and change this. And Cuban's like, yo, man, shut up. Stay in your lane. All right, be quiet. Well, the next day of practice, he goes, and the coolers were changed out. So this is Bob saying basically, yeah, Cuban, he kicked me to the curb on the topic, but he really listened to me and changed what was inside the coolers. So,
did you see the Cuban quote in this, by the way?
He said, quote, Bob has always talked a good game.
That was his only reply back to the athlete.
So I do find Vulgaris interesting on Twitter.
Yeah, he
I'd like to get him on.
And he destroyed this trade. He said this will go down as the worst trade in sports history.
So Nico has a, like, he doesn't, it doesn't jive with him if you're drinking beer and you're smoking a hookah or whatever. Am I to believe he would have moved on from Joker?
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, you know, again.
Or I was going to say MJ, but, you know, because Michael drank and smoked cigars, but Michael was never accused of being out of shape. But I think Joker's a great one.
Because, I mean, you know, you... If you're going to have the like, this is, there's a cultural aspect of players. Like, you know, you get players from other countries. There's different cultural norms that they have. And you just have to deal with that. You know, if you want to be in the business of the NBA, you're going to, you can't play a Major League Baseball team. You can't build a great Major League Baseball team without having players from either, you know,
different countries,
different, you know, either Asia, Latin America, wherever. You can't build an NBA team that's a great team anymore, really, without having some European influence. Like, it's just the way it is. You got to deal with some of the cultural differences. And I mean, if I'm about to say they got to sit there like Vladdy and smoke a pack a day, but you know what I mean? Like, if you can't have a problem with a guy drinking a beer,
the Kobe standard he has makes a little more sense when you remember Kobe was such a workaholic, and they obviously had more layered issues than just this, but
he would have dealt Shaq too.
That's what I'm saying. Kobe basically did deal Shaq. Like, Kobe pushed Shaq out for the same reasons that Nico's pushing Luka out.
Finally, the morning after dealing Luka, Harrison addressed his team in Cleveland. Harrison told the bleary-eyed group that their goal remained the same, win a championship. Privately and publicly, Harrison has said he moved Doncic for Davis because he felt it gave Dallas the best chance at raising the Larry O'Brien. Harrison believes that Dallas is a better cultural fit for what the Mavericks want to build. So there's your breakdown in The Athletic and The New York Times over who Nico Harrison actually is.
Should we kick them in the gut one more time and read what The Athletic said is the trade return they left on the table?
Yeah.
When Harrison traded Doncic to the Lakers, negotiated with only the trust of Pelinka, he chose not to hold out for every tidbit Los Angeles could throw in a deal, most notably leaving 18-point scorer Austin Reeves, rookie Dalton Connect, and a 2031 first-round pick on the West Coast. So The Athletic makes it sound like it wasn't just Connect and a first-rounder that got left out of this deal, that it was also Austin Reeves, which is...
Yeah.
It's another...
What's the thinking in that? I've heard the justification for keeping it quiet and not calling the rest of the league. What is the thinking on, because you were going to scare the Lakers away from the deal by asking for too much?
Yeah. So, the Mavericks are stupid.
Initially, we knew Connect and the 2031 were in it, and Pelinka talked about it because he's like, well, he's a risk, Nico. I mean, come on. And so one of the things I would suggest, I can't remember who did this. It may have been Windhorst or someone else. Remember, they didn't let anybody even let Luka know this was happening.
Yeah.
That it was suggested that if the Lakers felt like they could have talked to Luka before the trade, then it would have been easy to throw in all that stuff.
What is that? I'm not connecting what that has to do with it.
Because then they just know, like...
Why couldn't they...
Because then they get all the answers other than just Nico's representation of how Luka is. They get a chance to talk to Luka about, hey, how would you feel about if we did this and that and that?
But Nico has to have the mentality of they're still going to do the deal even if they give us Reeves and Connect.
Yeah, no, this is clearly a guy who just, like it said in the article earlier, was never going to pay him the Supermax. So he just went, let me get whatever I can.
Yeah.
He traded him the way you trade somebody at a deadline who you know isn't re-signing. It's ridiculous. It's awful.
Below the Belt coming up at 8:40. We have a Dierks Bentley ticket giveaway for the 9 o'clock club here on Sean, RJ, and Roberto. But spring training is right around the corner. Jared Sandler is there. The rest of the shows are heading out to Surprise next week because of that RJ Choppy with an addition of Diamond Cavs. And we have to relive SNL. And are we getting sleet tonight and the rest of this week? Next on The Fan.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 40% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale Last Chance right now and save up to 40% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 40% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
We getting sleet? Sleet coming to DFW?
See that way.
Yeah, right now, we about an hour ago reached the high temperature for today of 47 degrees. It is plunging the rest of the way. So tonight it's supposed to get down all the way to, some people have it down as low as like 16 degrees, but they say the wind chill will be close to zero. But freezing drizzle developing between 5 and 10 p.m. according to Pete Delkus. And then at that point, we don't get above freezing until Thursday. So Just something to watch on the roads. He says, Delcus is saying he thinks there will be very little accumulation, but he said it's just something we're going to have to monitor as we get closer along. But won't get above freeze until Thursday.
Like a 25% chance of rain, like later this afternoon. The question is it going to dry up before it's frozen? Like, that's the question. And how much?
So we need it not to rain.
Need it not to rain. Because even like a tenth of an inch of ice is very, very dangerous.
According to Delcus. My kids' schools opened.
They will close, I bet. Knowing this area, they will close.
Yeah.
And it depends on what side of town you're on. Like, remember, I had a lot of snow last time. You didn't have any. I mean, it could be where...
Well, you told us you had a lot of snow.
I have photo evidence.
You sent us a snowman.
I did send a snowman. But like, this could be on the east side of town where you get everything and Bobby and I are dry. So who knows?
877-881-1053, the Frank LaFranco Injury Attorney text line. What?
The forecasted wind chill up like in northern Denton County tonight is supposed to be -6.
Whoa. So, man, do I have to go weatherize again? Winterize?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You better wrap up those pipes, drip those faucets, protect your tender vegetation.
All right.
Oh, man.
Low of 22 for me. 87% humidity. Tomorrow's high is 29 with a low of 15.
4 a.m. feels like 1 degrees in Roanoke. Feels like 6 at 1 a.m.
What about the precipitation? 45% chance of rain by me today with 17 mile per hour winds. And my forecast would be yours, Pepe. Same thing. All right, so be careful.
Enjoy that bridge tomorrow morning, Peyton. Yeah.
Oh, I always get worried saying things like that when I'm like, tell Bobby, hey, just die. And then we get a sleet and a freeze, yeah. And then it'll be on my conscience.
I told somebody.
Conscious. It'll be on my conscience. Conscience. No end.
I was leaving to, I was going to Terrell to visit my aunt a couple, I mean, this was more than a couple years ago. This was like 15 years ago. But I was late walking out the door. So I jokingly had said, there were a bunch of thunderstorms going on. So I jokingly had said, it was like, Hey, I got in a wreck. And then she was like, what? I was like, just kidding. I'm just now leaving. That's why I'm late. Because she said, why are you late? I was like, I was in a wreck. And then driving out there, I wrecked my car. And I had to tell her I was in a wreck. And she was like, ha-ha. And I was like, no, I really wrecked my car. Good. It was bad. I was bleeding from my forehead. It was not good.
That you actually deserve. That's not a cool joke whatsoever.
It was a joke about myself.
No, you can't scare someone. Scare someone to that degree. All right, we are your home of the Texas Rangers. Jared Sandler is already in surprise. The other shows are heading out there this weekend for all your baseball coverage. That sets us up for some RJ Choppy Diamond Cats.
All right, baby. So Friday, that first game, you know, we talked about some of the players yesterday that if they have big years, they could easily be the second best team in the American League.
We talked about that. Jim Bowden has them as the fourth team in Major League Baseball entering the year.
Yeah, RJ's been saying that. I feel like that has just, boom, come out of nowhere. Yeah. How are we getting to this point where the Rangers season ended and now they're the second best team in the American League? That kind of felt like it crept up.
Got to bank on a lot of help.
Yes.
And a lot of guys rebounding like Adolis and Heim.
That's the thing. It's like, if everything goes right, because Langford has to continue what he did in September, Carter has to be healthy, DeGrom has to figure out a way to have to pitch 100 innings or more.
And if Anthony Davis is healthy, the Mets will win the title.
Seager has to stay healthy. Simeon has to rebound a little bit. But one player we missed, or one position that we missed, I should say, is catcher. And we didn't talk about catcher at all yesterday. And if you look at it, Buster only put out his top 10 catchers in baseball. And I was looking at, all right, let's see, is Heim on there? Is Gashioka on there? And no, they're not. And they're not even in the honorable mention, right? They're not. So that's top 14. They're not even in the top 14, which basically is top half of the league. Well, 2 years ago, Heim was an all-star.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he's really one of the better pitch framing catchers out there. So from a strikes gained by framing, he is near the top, and he has been for the last couple of seasons. So, you know, is half the league better than him? I don't know that. I don't know that half the league is better than him as a catcher.
Well, let me ask you this.
He was the all-star 2 years ago.
Do you think that a .223 hitter hitting 15 home runs is in the top half of baseball catchers?
I would think
with not. 60, 65 runs batted in.
No, I would think not.
Because those are basically the average numbers for Jonah Heim. Now, look, we're only talking 5 years here, even though he's 29 years old. But it's looking like 2023 is fluky.
Yes, absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely.
2023, his all-star year, 258, 18 home runs, 95 runs batted in. Outside of that, 227, 220. Now, he's still in that, you know, early teens pop for power, mm-hmm. but 60, 50 runs yeah. batted in.
It's, you know, you are banking that that was not a career year, that was like the start of something. And yeah. then last year, you know, was a little bit down, or injuries, whatever. So you hope that that's the case. Like, that's what you have to bank on. But that's really where, you know, this team is. This team's number one thing is hope, because they are talented enough as a team. Go, like, their pitching staff, their offense, the names they have are more impressive than what they gave us last year. Adolis a bigger name than what he did last year. You know, go Langford, Carter did nothing last year, right? He was hurt. We didn't hardly see DeGrom at all. You've got all those guys back. You hope they're healthy. Evaldi, same thing. You know that if you get in the playoffs, you're going to throw DeGrom and Evaldi out there 1-2. I mean, good luck to the rest of the league.
That's the thing. Even the players, though, that are, like, I mean, obviously, you know, there have been a couple different times where Evaldi's velocity has started dipping in the middle of the year and he's got to have an IL stint. Yeah. Or we've got the DeGrom injury history. And those are older players. And you're like, oh, well, yeah, they're older. They're breaking down. It's like, yeah, but even some of the guys who are not typically thought of as, like, super old. Like, Seager's not super old. I mean, I know he's a veteran, but Seager gets hurt a lot. You know, Evan Carter is barely old enough to drink. And Mike was talking about it yesterday during Crosstalk. Like, there are serious questions about, like, this back has flared up on him a couple times now. Like, how serious is this as a long-term concern? Yeah. Josh Young is young, but Josh Young always seems to get hurt just about every year.
Yep.
And so it's like they've just got so many injury questions up and down the roster, old to young, that it's really tough to bank on it.
So that is one player I think we missed. I went and looked at this article by Jeff Passan.
Wow.
Well, it wasn't really just Jeff Passan. It was him, Jesse Rogers, Buster was in this too, about a preview of the Major League Baseball season. And one of the things he said, all I wanted to do in this is, how many times are the Rangers mentioned? That's it. How many times are they mentioned? Are they mentioned once? Seven times? It kind of gives you a gauge. Passan wrote, trying to figure out who is good in the American League is my number one question. And one thing I was most excited about this spring training. The Yankees lose Soto, that's what he writes, gained a bunch of guys. And their predecessors in the AL, in terms of the AL champ in Texas, added Jock Peterson, Jake Berger, re-signs Evaldi, refashions the built bullpen, and has a healthy DeGrom. That was the second team you mentioned in the American League in terms of the most intriguing. And I think that's fair because they are very intriguing for a couple of things. One, obviously the Bochy factor, which is the every other year that he wins the title, yeah. which somehow has become a thing.
Yeah.
But also, most people agree that A, 2023 was a little fluky, and B, last year was also a little fluky.
I don't want to be intriguing, though. Like, I mean, are the Kansas City Chiefs intriguing? No, it's like, well, the Chiefs are just good, and we know they're good. Like, intriguing yeah. is a little bit like, are they going to be good, or are they going to be a flaming disaster? Who knows? It's,
right.
so, it's such intrigue.
But the thing is that the Rangers probably are somewhere in the middle of 2023 and last year. They're probably not, you know, they weren't probably the best team, or shouldn't have maybe necessarily shouldn't have been the best team in 23, and they should not have been as bad as they were last year. They sure. were absolutely a team that could have and should have fought for a playoff berth. They had a lot of reasons why they couldn't. One being injuries. Pete Alonso re-signed. Can the Rangers learn from this? And the Pete Alonso deal is a product of the game just getting smarter. So they look at Pete Alonso and they compared him to Cecil Fielder. This is from Sports Illustrated. They compared him to Cecil Fielder in 1993.
Okay, I can't right? wait to see where this goes.
So,
not even Prince, Cecil.
Not even Prince. They looked at Cecil and they said, okay, you're 29 years old. You had an OPS of 850 and a slugging percentage of 509. And you had a lot of it. You weren't a great fielder. You did one thing great, and that was hit home runs. And they said, you know what? You are worth the second most money in Major League Baseball. And it, look, the sport was dumb. The sport was dumb back then. Now the sport has wisened up, and they look at Pete Alonso, and they said he went from a WAR in the mid-4s, wins above replacement at 22, to then the low 3s, and then the mid-2s over the last 2 years.
Wow.
Adolis.
Because I remember looking at the Alonso money and saying, that's it?
Yeah.
That was my first initial reaction.
Yeah. So Adolis, who had been...
This is a superstar home run hitter.
Yes. And, you know, I mean, like, he's basically wins the home run derby every year or comes close to it. Adolis, who had been in the mid-3s and low 4s in the 3 years lead up to last year, tanked to a 0.3 WAR. And in an era like the early 90s, before the nerds took over the game, he'd get big bucks. And now when he becomes a free agent, I wonder, I mean, he'll be in baseball, but will he really be in baseball? You know, it's like, it's going to be one of those things. Is he's not going to get a major contract. His defense went from 7 defensive runs saved in 23 to -5 last year.
Ooh,
that's a massive drop. He's a fan favorite, so is Pete. And it's hard to deal with, but the reality is that they may be able to let him test the market when he does become a free agent and then scoop him back up the way the Mets did. Send him out there, test the market. Is anyone really going to give him this major contract that he might want? And then bring him back crawling with his tail tucked between his legs.
That's one way to do it.
That's what the Ravens did to Ray Lewis.
Did they?
Was that the play they did with them? If you want to be a GM, you've got to be a bad guy.
I mean, that's what they did with Amari.
Sneeko, yeah.
Although Amari got, you know, the Washington offer.
Yeah.
But they kind of like, all right, go ahead. You think you're all this? Let the market sober you up.
And the market offered him more money. And he was just like, I really want to be a Cowboy. And they went, well, we don't really want you, so we're going to trade you for a 5th-round pick and use it on a guy who will never play.
Some RJ Choppy Diamond Cavs on the home of the Rangers, 105.3 The Fan.
You want to do this Anthony Rendon thing real quick?
Real quick.
All right, so this was circulating about a week ago on social media, and it came up yesterday because Rendon is getting surgery, and he's going to be out for a while. Ted Williams, between 1942 and 1946, which is the same amount of time that Anthony Rendon has been in L.A. with his contract. Ted Williams, by the way, missed 1943, 44, and 45 seasons by being in the military in World War II. Ted Williams played more games, had more home runs, more hits, more WAR, more higher batting average, higher OPS, everything. Did all that more than Anthony Rendon did in the 5 years he's been in L.A.
He had
and he missed three seasons with a WAR.
He had more WAR with both of them. It was, yeah, he had both WARs that were more.
And Mike Trout, by the way, moving to right field, trying to stay a little more healthy.
That'll fix it.
For Ron Washington's Angels. Thanks for being a total. That's the answer. Turn it on. Leave it on. We're hooking you up with Dierks Bentley tickets at 9 o'clock today and throughout the rest of the week on your home of the Rangers and the Cowboys. Where's the value for the Cowboys in this April's draft? That's next in Below the Belt, 105.3 The Fan. The great Bobby Belt.
Bobby Belt is an idiot.
Don't make me take off my belt.
Don't make me take off my belt.
We're not.
Over to you, Bobby.
How does this Cowboys team get better in a hurry? Oh, they better hit on these draft picks that they got. That's what we're going to talk about here in Below the Belt. We will head to Indianapolis for the scouting combine 1 week from tomorrow. I'm excited.
I know you are. I was just about to say, I was listening to a little bit of the show yesterday, and I have not heard you hype up a trip this much. Feels like you're the master of ceremonies leading us around, which I'm kind of terrified of. RJ said he got the dinner reservation that I'm convinced will be canceled. But then I'm not convinced it's canceled because you said no one's actually going to be out and about that I want to see and stargaze over because their reservations and dinners are going to start at 9 p.m. and ours is 6:30.
Roughly 9.
7:30.
9. So as we're leaving dinner, we may run into them coming in for their reservations. But 10 o'clock, Prime 47 opens up. They literally take out all their tables when the steakhouse would normally close and they say, we're staying open until 2 in the morning this week and we're going to turn it into a bar. So they put up all their tables except for a select few. Like David Cantor will usually say, well, I want a table, so I'm going to pay for one. So
that's
leave
an
it
agent.
Up. Yep, agent. That's DeMarcus Lawrence's agent. Also Rico Dowdle and Jordan Lewis. So we'll have to stop by Prime 47.
What's that? A
couple guys that won't be here next year.
Maybe they will, maybe they won't. Maybe we'll just have to ask Jordan. Somebody there at Prime 47. Yeah, absolutely. Jordan Lewis is that's the this era's dat win for Cowboys fans. But we'll be out there. It'll be a great trip. And we're going to be out there to check out the NFL Scouting Combine. And Dane Brugler has officially dropped his top 100 prospects of the NFL draft. Number one on his list, counter to what a lot of people are kind of shifting towards, Carter. Daniel Jeremiah and a lot of others are going towards Carter, and they've got Carter number one.
Abdul Carter.
He has Travis Hunter number one as a cornerback, as the number one prospect in the draft. And I still think that's who I've got number one.
All right, so Dane has Travis one.
Mm-hmm. Yep, and I've got, that's who I still have as, out of all the players that I've studied, which I'm, you know, 60 deep at this point, he's, Travis Hunter to me is the best player in the draft.
And Broadus has him as a receiver.
He believes he's a receiver, yeah. And I understand why. So this is the comparison that I've made before, is that when you watch him play, he's much lighter than Jalen Ramsey was. But he's physical, he's a good cover guy, he's incredibly like high IQ. He reminds me very much of Ramsey as a corner. As a receiver, he could still be like a Pro Bowl level receiver, but I look at him as like Chris Godwin, which is like, Godwin's good, but if you told me I could have Godwin or Ramsey, I want Jalen Ramsey.
Give me the corners in like the last three drafts who you had scouted better than Hunter.
Oh my gosh. Off the top of my head, I don't think anybody's been ahead of what I would have Hunter at. Hunter's way up at the top for me. Like to me, I don't think that there's a, I really liked years ago Marshawn Lattimore. But that was, it's Lattimore, Ramsey are the guys that kind of pop into
Okuda?
My head.
Okuda Matata?
I had Okuda high. I didn't have Okuda as high as I did Hunter, but I definitely had him near the top. I thought Okuda was really good. I really liked CJ Henderson from Florida a couple years ago, but he ended up having a lot of mental health issues and different things like that. But Travis Hunter would...
Quinyon Mitchell?
I did not have Mitchell as high as I have Hunter. Hunter would be...
Terrion Arnold?
Nope, not even close. The guys that would be close would be Lattimore and Jalen Ramsey in the last 10 years for me. But I think he's absolutely fantastic as a corner and just natural and has complete feel of how to play the position. All the instincts are perfect. And look, as a receiver, if he was only a receiver, I'd be very much in favor of taking him in the top 10. He just wouldn't be my number one player.
Wow.
He is truly unique and a fantastic player. He's got him at cornerback. That's where Dane Brugler has him ranked. You go down the list, he's got Ashton Jeanty ranked number 5 on this list, which we're still trying to... That feels like that's going to be what sets up as, okay, what's the big argument that people go value versus like, he's so good. It's like the Bijan question that never was actually going to get to the Cowboys. This one has a real chance to get to him. If the Cowboys don't take him at 12, a lot of people are speculating Jeanty could fall all the way to 19 as the fifth best player in the NFL or in the NFL draft because of just the type
positional
of
value.
It's the type of player he does. I've got, these are some of my notes that I've got on Jeanty after I watched him play, because Jeanty to me is, he's top 3 player in the draft. I've got him in the top 3, but he's like, I mean, he looks like a pinball when you watch him run. Like, he just bounces off of people. He's got great balance. His body control, his ability to stay upright through traffic is fantastic. It is incredibly rare to see him go down on first contact. I don't know if I can remember a single time on tape where he went down on the first hit. It's consistently, you have to group tackle him in order to be able to knock. What's interesting about him is a deficiency I feel like is, as physical as he is and as much as he bounces, he is not a great short yardage back. Like, when he's in space, he's difficult to bring down and he bounces off of people and he's really tough to tackle. But when you get really tight in between the tackles and it's short yardage and it's just push, like, I do kind of wonder about that lower body churn of his, if that's going to be a strength of his. But, I mean, this is a guy who they will line up to play outside at receiver and throw him, you know, they'll have him run legitimate routes as receiver. It's almost just as fun to watch him pass protect as it is to watch him run the ball. He's really violent picking up blitzes and really physical and really smart. I think he's fantastic. Biggest problem is just, if you look at the NFL and college, it's like 3 times in the last 20 years that even an NFL player touched the ball as much in a season as Jeanty touched it this year. Like, he is, you're talking about guys who play 18 games potentially when you include the playoffs. Jeanty was equaling their total grammar. He had over 400 touches this year. He had more scary, touches, man, this year than Rico Dowdle had in his career heading into this season.
Now, the punishment of a college game, not necessarily what it is in the NFL, but still, it's scary.
No, but
that's a lot of car crashes.
Yeah, and his style, though, is very physical. And that's the type of football that he plays. The Cowboys are picking 12th. The number 12 prospect on this list is Mike Green, the edge rusher from Marshall. Wolchuk and Brian are really high on him. He's a really fun player, really bendy type of edge rusher. He's picking up a lot of momentum. But I think when you're looking at value and some of the things that make sense for the Cowboys, if one of those receivers can get down to 12 for you, it's so thin behind the top group that I would be in favor of let's take a Tetaroa McMillan, or we got to really strongly look at Luther Burden from Missouri, because we got to know if we're going to have the receiver here. We don't want to have a running back situation where we say we'll get one later, like last year's draft, and then they get wiped out.
So you want to reach a little bit because of the lack of depth, the drop-off.
McMillan wouldn't be a reach. You'd have to pray he gets down to you. That's the receiver from
Arizona.
Gosh, Arizona, yeah. You would have to pray that he gets down to you. Because right now he's probably 8-9 range. Burden would be a little bit early, but I would guess trade back, maybe pick up that fourth that you gave away for Mingo, take Burden. Or at that point, as they head into the draft, are they going to look at a Cooper Kupp? Are they going to look at, you know, one of these free agent receivers? Do they go, oh, you know what, let's bring Stephon Diggs in here on a value deal, see if we can build back up his value, get him in here with his brother. Let's get one of these veteran receivers, and then we've covered ourselves, and we can just pick best player at number 12 instead of feeling like we're reaching. The most recent mock draft I saw from Dane had Will Johnson, the corner from Michigan, going to Dallas, which I think even though it's a corner and not a defensive lineman, I think selling Cowboys fans on a Michigan player would probably be pretty tough in the first round again. But look, you'd be replacing potentially Jordan Lewis with somebody like that, knowing that Trayvon Diggs is probably not going to be at full strength when the season rolls around. All right, so that's just kind of a quick overview of some of the guys that Dane Brugler has at the top of his board. Really quickly, the Chiefs. When was the last time you saw an NFL player's retirement being extensively covered by Page Six and People Magazine and Us Weekly?
Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah, that's true.
Brett Favre?
That's true. There are plenty of them, I guess.
Tay-Tay.
Travis Kelce has been given a deadline by the Kansas City Chiefs of March 14th, according to The Athletic, and now it's being picked up by everywhere else, all the gossip rags. And they're saying March 14th, we got to know. Because March 10th is the beginning of free agency, and the way that Travis's contract structure set up and the way that they're going to be spending, they want to know by the fifth day of the league year, all right, what are you doing, so that we can make plans and react accordingly. They don't want to be set in the same position that the Cowboys got 6-7 years ago when Jason Witten retired, where it's like he's retiring on draft weekend and then they're like, well, crap, I guess we got to figure something out here. So they've given Kelce that deadline. So in about 3 weeks, that'll be one of the things I bet we hear while we're out in Indy. We'll hear just buzz about what is Kelce going
to
be doing.
Does that seem a little cutthroaty to you? What would the Cowboys do in that situation? Did they tell just Jason Witten, you let us know when you're ready? Can you imagine them giving a deadline? Or maybe we just don't find out about one?
Yeah, you may not find out about one. It just seems like if this is one of the guys that's going to go and he's going to have his number retired, I'm sure. It seems a little... it's too cutthroaty.
Yeah, but I mean,
I think you could say it like this: hey, it would really help us out. Like,
yeah,
we would like to know
a deadline.
Yeah, but we'd like to know by March 14th.
but if he's been flirting with this, which it sounds like he has been hinting, this could be his last year throughout the year. So if they've just kind of been
then
like,
in the Super Bowl, he said, "I'm coming back. I'm playing." He's flip flopped.
But and that's the thing. I think for them, they just go like, "Hey, totally cool with whatever decision you make." But like, we really just for like being able to execute, we gotta know.
But so again, it's like a company. If you die, your job's posted 48 hours later.
97 catches for 823 and 3 touchdowns. His career low in touchdowns on the year. It felt like he was dead and gone first half of the season. Mm-hmm. Resurgence, and then playoffs had some quiet games.
Saints new head coach Ellen Moore. As Gail Benson introduced him as.
What?
Oh, you didn't hear that?
No.
She introduced him. She said, we wanted somebody who was really smart, and that's why we hired Ellen Moore. And so he gets called Keelan here by Jerry and Ellen by Gail Benson. But we asked the question, can Kellen Moore command a room? That was going to be a big part of the equation here when you determine if you wanted him as the head coach of the Cowboys. Ultimately, the Cowboys go the direction of Brian Schottenheimer. But that question of commanding the room is coming up with Saints reporters now and Saints fans and saying, okay, he's got the X's and O's, but what about being a leader? Well, Kat Terrell from ESPN, also former college paper associate or colleague of David Hellman at LSU. Kat Terrell had talked to Lane Johnson and asked him, hey, what's your take on Kellen Moore? You've been around the NFL for a long time. You've been in a bunch of different locker rooms. What's your thought on him? So Lane Johnson had said, what matters to me is whenever he gets on the board and talks to us and you really see what type of genius he is.
Oh, no.
Oh, he's throwing out the G word.
Oh,
he throws it out a second time. Yeah, there you go. Ellen Moore. He throws it out a second time.
Let me hear it one more time. Clean.
Ellen Moore.
There's no K. No, that's Gail Benson.
Ellen Moore.
He says, so those actions speak louder than words, but he's also able to command a room, and he's a fun personality. There's a lot of depth to him, and he lets, I guess, few people see it, but he takes up a room when he gets under there and is able to be a genius. So that's how I see it. So sort of what we talked about when before the Schottenheimer hire happened, we talked about, hey, let me ask some people outside of here, what are your takes on Kellen Moore? And a lot of people said, he's not a big, loud personality, but he's such a clear visionary and so good at explaining things. Guys follow that. And so that's the way that he commands, is just with his ability to teach.
Below the belt, every day at this time on your home of the Dallas Cowboys. Bobby going to be heading out to Frisco, where all the coaches are going to be talking today. A full recap of that with audio tomorrow. Do the Dallas Mavericks even know what a power ranking looks like anymore? And a Dierks Bentley ticket giveaway to hook you up with next.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework. Head to Safeway this week for these amazing digital deals for members. Signature Farms chicken, split breasts, drumsticks, or thighs, buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Or a wheat variety bread, 24-ounce selected varieties, buy one, get one for free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. And Progresso soup, 18 to 19-ounce selected varieties, buy two, get three free of equal or lesser value when you buy five. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.